You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.
If you were asked to make a list of the things in life that truly matter, what would you jot down? Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and today we conclude Dr. J. Vernon McGee's study in the great book of Ecclesiastes as we take a look at the things King Solomon included on his list of what really matters. Let's pray for this time together in God's Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had to study Ecclesiastes. We ask that you would teach us what it means to be completely satisfied with you, that we might live all of our days, not for ourselves, but for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn now to Ecclesiastes 12 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
We are rejoicing today in this very wonderful book that presents a pessimistic viewpoint of life. Now, we have seen that Solomon has made an experiment in life, probably the only man who's ever lived who would be able to experiment in all of these different areas. And he has attempted to find a solution and satisfaction to life apart from God. The key expression was under the sun. He tried nature, natural science, what we'd call natural science today. There are a great many folk that think, well, if you just get back to nature, we'd solve all of our problems. Well, I'm sure it would be helpful. There's a great exodus out of the city, even from suburbia today. That's become an unhealthy place to live. And people now are trying to find a little cabin by a lake or on a river or up in the mountains. And let's get away from it. I'll get back to nature. Well, it didn't solve the problem for Solomon, and won't solve it for you or me. And they had problems back in the day when they were living by rivers, and it wasn't as complicated as it is today. But you don't find a solution under the sun. Then there's wisdom and philosophy. There was pleasure. Then materialism, living for the now, and fatalism. You can do nothing about it, so just keep going. Egoism, that is, live for self. And then religion. Religion that has a lot of ritual but no reality. And then wealth. And of course today, there are a great many people have made the almighty dollar their God. And that's modern idolatry. Covetousness, we're told in scriptures, idolatry. And then morality, and we've been looking at that the past two or three times. That is the good life, the middle of the roader, the man that wants to do good, you know. And believe me, that sometimes leads to a very insipid sort of a life. And I'm of the opinion the rebellion we've had of youth has been more against that than anything else that we've had. They see how Papa and Mama are living. They live a life of taking the middle of the road, not offending anybody, and trying to be sweet and nice and do good, and still chasing the almighty dollar. And actually, their Christianity, though they might belong to a Bible church, is as phony as a $3 bill, and youth has rebelled against that. I don't blame them for that, but I don't think they've found the solution at all to life. They certainly have not. Now, we come here to the final conclusion that he made, and the final conclusion we have here in chapter 12. And we have here a poetic picture of old age. But it's not a pretty picture at all. And today our message, I think, will have something for youth and something for the senior citizen. Both ends of the spectrum of life today. And they say there's no communication between these groups, that there is a gap here. Well, there's not a gap in the Word of God. And now he says, as he begins this, in view of these things not satisfying, get to God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, while you're young, make your decisions, and it'll be quite obvious why. Now he gives the picture, your picture, my picture in old age. And friends, some of us have reached that. I remember the first time that I preached on the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. I was a very young preacher, and I wondered if it would be like this. I'm here to testify today that the book of Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter is quite accurate of old age. Now I want you to notice this, that it's very, very important to see. And he's going to answer the statement of the liberal who says, I believe in a religion of the here and now, not a religion of the hereafter. Well, here's a religion of the here, and that means to be rightly related to God. Now, God has something for you here and for the hereafter, and one is, of course, to live to him. Why? Well, he says here, first of all, and I want you to get the picture here, for it is, I think, a tremendous picture. He says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Now, what is it that's happened? Well, this is a picture now of old age, and I must confess it's not as pretty as you might hope it would be. Why does he mean that the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened? You mean that they're going out? No, my friend, your eyesight won't be so good. You may have to do like I do, use trifocals. And time flies, and one sad experience follows another. The clouds return after the rain. Yes, you can go out and have a great day, but believe me, you've got to take 3 or 4 days to rest up. I've learned that. I used to go out in conferences and just enjoy it and keep going. Clouds, they do return after the rain, by the way. And the sun and the moon and the stars. Out in Hawaii, my wife and I took a walk, and it was a full moon. And you know, I said to her, my, isn't that a beautiful moon and that? And I said to her, I said, you know, it doesn't seem as romantic as it did once. How do you feel? And she says, no, I don't think that it's as romantic as it once was. I used to think, she says, the Hawaiian Islands was the most romantic place in the world. Well, my friends, you get old, I want to tell you that. Now, verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now, what are the keepers of the house? Now, he's talking about your physical body from here on. Keep that in mind. What are the keepers of the house that shall tremble? That's your legs. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I said, you know, my staff and some of my close friends, they try to kid me and say, oh, you're looking so good. You're looking well and all that sort of thing. And I said, yet when I get in a car, get out of the car, I find somebody at my elbow helping me. They assist me in and assist me out. You know why? Because I don't do it quite as fast as I once did. And these legs of mine, I find out when I get up in the morning and come down the steps. Oh, I groan. My wife gets after me. Why do you groan? I says, it's scriptural. Paul says in these bodies we groan. And I want to be scriptural, and I'm going to groan because the knees hurt when you come down the steps, friends. The keepers of the house shall tremble. And I find out I stumble more than I used to. Have to be a little more careful when I climb up a ladder. The old person today gets him a walking stick. I've been thinking about that too, by the way. What a picture. Then notice something else, and I'll be very personal here. There was a time I couldn't be personal, but I can right now. It says here, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. Now, what's the strong man? Well, that's your shoulders. My wife said to me the other day, she said, you'd look lots better if you'd stand erect like you used to. She said, when you were young, you had broad shoulders, and now look at you. You're all stooped over. Well, friends, the strong men are bowing themselves. They don't stay back like they once did. Their shoulders begin to round off, and it's more comfortable to be that way, I can assure you. And then, and the grinders cease because they're few. My friend, may I say to you, this says that you're going to lose your teeth. By the way, the grinders are going to cease because they're few. You'll have to have a few bridges put in. I haven't kept. Now, I haven't had to resort yet to false teeth. I'm thankful I have my own, but they're all kept, by the way, and they have been for several years. But the grinders cease because they're few. And then notice this, those that look out of the windows be darkened. Don't see as well. In a restaurant, a man came up to me and shook hands and began to talk. And I talked with that man 2 minutes before I even recognized who he was. Couldn't place him. And I met a friend. We were in a meeting. I was with my wife, shook hands. And after the friend left, why, I said to my wife, who was that? She said, so-and-so. You mean to tell me you didn't know him and you've known him for years? And I said, tell the truth, I didn't know him. I said, I think he's changed. She says, yes, I think he has, but you have also. You see, the thing that was happened, those that look out of the windows be darkened. It doesn't look quite as bright as it once did. Now, verse 4, notice this. The doors shall be shut in the street. And what does that mean? Well, that means you're going to get hard of hearing. Again, my wife tells friends, she doesn't think I even hear her when she says this. She says, you'll have to speak a little louder. He's getting hard of hearing. And I'm not, by the way. I don't think I'm getting hard of hearing. She says, I don't hear her often. Well, frankly, I just don't want to hear her. I had a neighbor several years ago, and this neighbor wore a hearing device. And his wife would get after him when he got out to trim trees or prune his fruit trees or do things like that. And she'd come out, he'd be up on a ladder, and she'd be rebuking him for it. And all he did was take out his hearing aid. He didn't hear a word she said. And all of a sudden, after she talked to him for 15 minutes, she said, I don't think that you got your hearing aid in. And he didn't have. He just kept right on working, you see. Well, the noise out in the street, it's not as loud as it once was. The doors are shut in the streets. And then it says, when the sound of the grinding is low. And actually, the literal here is the sound of the grinding women. The sound of the grinding women is low. What does that refer to? It refers to the tongue, to the voice. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when people get very old, the voice gets low and they begin to talk, well, you know, I'm getting old. Yes, we are friends. And when we start talking like that, we better get off the radio. And if I get to that point, you won't hear me on the radio. The sound of the grinding women is low. It refers to the tongue and the voice. Now, will you notice this? And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. You remember when you and I were younger, that why even an alarm clock in the morning didn't wake us up, and we didn't mind the noise of children, or we didn't mind the noise of music coming from next door, or when you're in a motel from the next room. Well, now, even the little chirp of a bird disturbs us. And I find that one of the things in motels today, I always ask, can you give us a quiet room? Why? Well, I want you to know very candidly that the sound of a chirp of a bird is disturbing at night. We want to get a rest and our sleep. And then will you notice something else? And the daughters of music shall be brought low. Now, it means that the daughters of music are brought low. It means you cannot sing in the choir any longer. It means that you can't carry a tune anymore. And I remember dear brother Homer Rhodey Heaver. What a marvelous music director he was, song leader. And I remember him as a young man. I was a boy, and I went to hear Billy Sunday. My, how he thrilled me. Played the trombone, led the singing. What a voice. And then I had him when I was pastor in downtown Los Angeles. He was in his 70s. I'd have to help him up. He was tottering up to the platform. And he still was a marvelous song leader. No one, I think, could ever excel him. But every now and then he'd sing a stanza. And And my feeling was he should have read this verse, because he got to the place where it wasn't the same old roadie. It wasn't that glorious voice that we'd heard. And there are a lot of folk today that ought to realize they can't sing anymore. Now, he could get by with it because he was great, whether he could sing or not. But there are a lot of folk not great, and therefore they ought to quit singing. And that's the reason I never opened my mouth today in a song service. I don't dare. I couldn't sing when I was young, and it's frightful now. The daughters of music shall be brought low. Now, he continues on as he speaks of old age, and now, to me, it gets to the place where it's tragic, because we are looking at the psychological effects. And here is one of them, verse 5. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, things that formerly did not frighten us. And I was just getting so, I was enjoying flying. And then old age slipped upon me. And I find today I have the same old fear of flying that I had at the very beginning. Little things, you see, like that, that one time never disturbed us, they do disturb us now. That's a picture of old age. And fears shall be in the way. In other words, we don't enjoy traveling as we once did. That is something that, to me, is quite interesting today, because we take many tours. We've taken them to Bible lands. We've taken them to Hawaii, and we've had folk going with us. And I have noticed, as friends get older, they find traveling much more difficult. That's the thing that we're finding today. These things become a burden, you see. Fears shall be in the way. You wonder about things you never even thought of before. I never even worried when I traveled by car in the old days. Start out in an old jalopy across the country, never have a reservation, wouldn't need it, wouldn't worry me. If I went to a motel and asked for a room, they say we are filled, didn't bother me a bit. And my wife and I had sleep on the side of the road, been all right in that day. But my friend, today there's always that fear. What a picture that we have here. Now he says, and the almond tree shall flourish. The almond tree shall flourish means that the almond branch, by the way, when it buds, is white. And it means that the senior citizen is going to turn white on top, or there won't be anything on top. It'll be one or the other, getting gray-haired. And if his hair hasn't fallen out, it'll turn gray. Now will you notice, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. How can a grasshopper be a burden? Little things will annoy you that did not annoy you before. You even will love your grandchildren. You love to have them with you, but after they've been with you a while, you're glad to see them go home. Because what? Well, let's move on down. He says here, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Romance is gone. Now you can act as if you're just as young as you were. I remember listening to an evangelist that married a young girl, and he hopped on the platform, in fact, jumped in the air and says, I'm just as young as I ever was. He wasn't fooling anybody but himself, because he died shortly after that. Desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and that long home is eternity. And the mourners go about the street. Now will you notice, verse 6 here, now we're talking about the organs of the body. Are ever the silver cord be loosed? Now the silver cord is a spinal cord. The golden bowl here be broken, and the golden bowl is the head. And you get a little touched in the head when you start getting old. Are the pitcher be broken at the fountain? And the pitcher's the lungs. And then notice, and the wheel broken at the cistern. No longer pumping blood through the body. That's the heart, you see. Die of one of these diseases that affect these organs. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God that gave it. There's no soul sleep. I wish these who use a verse or two back out of the ninth chapter to try to support the doctrine of soul sleep would now come to this verse. There is no soul sleep. The body sleeps, but the spirit or soul goes to God. The spirit shall return to God who gave it. And for the child of God, today when you come to the New Testament, Paul says it's absent from the body. This body's a tabernacle we live in. And as President Adams, years ago, somebody met him on the street, says, "How are you getting along?" Oh, he says, "I'm doing fine. But this house I live in is growing very feeble, and I think I'll be moving out before long." That was true. He did move out shortly after that. Verse 8, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." Life is empty if you're just living for the here and now, young man. You're going to find out one day that all you've got in your hands is a bunch of ashes, and you got eternity ahead of you. And this is the picture, therefore. And what a picture it is. And we can put it like this. "When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on, time gone." And the psalmist could say, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And that wisdom is Jesus Christ. That's the thing that is important. Someone has put it in this whimsical way today. "Thou knowest, Lord, I'm growing older. My fire of youth begins to smolder. I somehow tend to reminisce and speak of good old days I miss. I am more moody, bossy, and think folks should jump at my command. Help me, Lord, to conceal my aches and realize my own mistakes. Keep me sweet, silent, sane, serene, instead of crusty, sour, and mean." What a picture, growing old gracefully. And the thing that he's saying here is this: the moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. "The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. We should not despise the wisdom of the past by any means. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is awareness of the flesh." And wisdom, education, does not solve the problems of life. What is it? "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Why? Well, for a very definite reason. Because in the matter of salvation, your chances of being saved are greater. And in the subject of service, you'll have something to offer to God. Statistics show that more come to Christ when they're young. If you're 80 and you are listening to this program, your chance of being saved is about nil. But it's not impossible. We've had a man down in San Diego, 90 years old, when we gave an invitation for those that want to accept Christ to put up a hand. His daughter walked into the room, and there he sat in the rocking chair listening to us with his hand in the air. You can be saved. But men that have had service, something to give to God, why, they have been young men. Joseph and Moses and Gideon and David and Jeremiah and Saul of Tarsus and Timothy and Wee Bobbin Moffat, the great missionary to Africa, and all others we could name. What a picture this is. My friend, there's no answer to the problems of life under the sun today, and that's the reason education and government and the military and the scientists has no solution for the problems of life. Only Jesus Christ has the solution. Why not turn to him today? He says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a great conclusion to our study. You can learn more about Dr. McGee's invitation to turn to Jesus today at ttb.org. Just search for "How Can I Know God?" There you'll find several free resources from Dr. McGee on the Christian life. And then you can also give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll send a few of these resources to you by mail. Again, that's ttb.org or 1-800-65-BIBLE. Or you can email us at biblebus@ttb.org. Join us as our adventure in the book of Song of Solomon begins next time. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save you a seat on the Bible bus.
Jesus,
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world, and we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?
Listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Praise the Lord. I am Minister Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. I would like to pray for all our faith partners and radio listeners to be blessed by the radio broadcast today. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church service is every Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and join us. Now is Pastor Ross.
Well, we thank God for this glorious day. Every time he gives us the opportunity to see the sunrise and to breathe this fresh air, we have to give him praise and honor and glory, because many people that have gone to bed last night, but they didn't wake up for whatever reason it may be, only God knows. And what happens is that he allowed you this day, in this hour, this time, so that you can praise him and worship him. So we thank him for that. Praise God. Many people say, well, what a day. Well, I want to tell you, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. Does not matter what circumstances or the situation that you wake up finding yourself in, give the Lord Jesus Christ all of the praise and honor and glory, because in all things, we are to give thanks unto the Lord, and let our petition be made known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. Praise God. And he's truly at hand. He's coming back for us. Praise God. He's said it in his word, and I believe it. Praise the Lord. And we thank him for that preparation that he's allowed us to have by believing what his word says, humbling ourselves unto the hands of the mighty God, that he will exalt us in due time. So we thank him for that. Praise God. I want to pray for those this morning that are heavy laden out there. There are many people today that are going through all kinds of difficulties and problems, and it may not be announced to any mortals or people that they know, but I want to tell you that the God that we serve is a good God, and what happens is that he will allow us, praise God, to pray for one another. And we should pray for one another. The Bible tells us that we should pray for one another that they be healed, praise God. And it does not mean that you have sickness in your body or anything. There's a healing of the mind. Your thoughts may be contrary to what the Word of God is saying, but I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and he wants you to have the mind of Christ. All that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, I want to pray right now. Praise God. Father, we thank you once again. In the most holy and precious name of our risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would bless the broadcast. You would let your Holy Spirit ride the wings of these prayers and touch the hearts of each and every person, Lord, that have tuned into the broadcast. We thank you for that right now. I pray that their hearts will be receptive to your word today, and their minds will be open to receive truth, because only truth will eradicate a lie. And Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we thank you for the pathway, the way that you made possible for us to get back home, our Heavenly Father. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, today I want to look at Psalms 55. Praise God. This is a psalm, praise the Lord, that many people, I don't know if they really understand what really was going on, but There are things that goes on in all of our lives that we're troubled with. Sometimes that there are things that seem to be insurmountable, but I want to tell you that the God that we serve, He watches over us. He is able, and I want to say that again, He is able. We may not be able. People that we surround ourselves with may not be able to a certain degree, but I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is able. Praise God. He said that in His word. He says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. So praise God, according to the Spirit. And His Spirit is all powerful. He said that in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. But let me tell you something here. We want to look at Psalms 55 and verse 22. And we want to see, first of all, if you're burdened down with any type of problem, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I've just jumped ahead, but the point is that if we look at Psalms 55 and verse 22, we see that we are to cast all of our burdens upon the Lord. I want to say that again. We're to cast our burdens upon the Lord, for He and He alone is able to shoulder the burdens that we have. He will do exactly what He said that He would do. Praise God. So, Minister Gloria, would you read that verse of Scripture there? Cast all your
burdens. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee.
He will sustain. In other words, He will keep you. Praise God. When you cast your burdens upon the Lord, He will keep you. And He will not what?
Never suffer the righteous to be moved.
And will never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want to tell you today that if you are burdened down with any problem in your life, the Word of God tells us that we're to give it to the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever it may be. Sometimes we try to figure out things on our own in terms of why this and that is happening. But I want to tell you, if you have burdens today, which you shouldn't, there may be situations that's going on in your life, but not to the point where it would burden you down, because Jesus said there in Matthew, praise God,
12:28, it says, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Praise God. He's the burden bearer. He's the one that will carry your burdens. He is the one that has already done that. And when we look at the Word of God, we see that when we come to Him in Matthew 11 and verse 28 and 29, praise God, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. If you're out there laboring and you're trying to earn something or do something on your own without the Lord Jesus Christ, come to Him. If you have problems in your life that may be trying to get the best of you, come to Jesus. He is the one, praise God.
Amen.
He is the one that will change every situation that's going on in our lives. And we thank the Lord for that. We have burdens, praise God, but we know who to cast our burdens upon. Praise God. We give them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the burden bearer.
Yes, He is.
He is able to shoulder whatever problems you may have as a child of God. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, because I always have to input knowing Him and having a relationship with Him. So if you know Him, and you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer, being born again, listen, give your burdens to the Lord.
Right.
Give them to Him, because He is able. And I remember a lot of times when we used to go to the altar and lay out our burdens and things that weighing us down and trying to keep us from progressing in the things of God, and you know, trying to be obedient to what the Word of God says. And as soon as we give those burdens to the Lord and get up, praise God, off of our knees, the enemy will tell you, well, you left those things over there. No, I didn't leave anything there because I've given them to the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. And you have to rebuke those thoughts that will come into your mind after you have said from an honest heart that you've given your burdens unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's not an easy thing, but it's possible because we're able to do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And when we have problems, we give it to the Lord because he's the only one that's able to shoulder our burdens.
And you know, Pastor, we can go boldly to him.
Yes.
You know, in Hebrews 4 and 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, glory to God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Go to him.
Praise
go
God.
To the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's wonderful. Praise God. We go to him. He said, come. So that means that we go to the throne of grace. We go unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
It says, come boldly.
Come boldly. Hallelujah.
In other words, come to him like as if you know that you have a right to come.
That's right.
And we do have a right to come. Everyone that's born again and, and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have a right to come boldly unto the throne of grace. But you're coming there to get something.
Yes.
You're coming to receive something.
Yes.
That you may obtain mercy.
Yes.
And find grace to help in the time of need. Mm-hmm. And many people today, they find it extremely difficult to understand, well, why am I going to the throne? Well, that's where the power is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where God is.
Mm-hmm.
It said the throne of grace. Jesus Christ is the grace of God. So we're coming to him, praise God. We have a right to come to him through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And many people say, well, why are you talking about grace?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you coming to the throne of grace?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, we all need grace
each
and every minute of the day.
That's right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
We see folks that are going through things. Listen, the first thing comes to our mind is that I thank God for his grace, the unmerited favor of God toward mankind. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Because, Minister Glory, we don't deserve what we have, but because of the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, the grace of God.
Praise God.
And grace is the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right, unmerited favor.
Praise God.
Amen.
But I like to say it this way, praise God, that the grace of God is his goodness.
His goodness. Glory
praise
to God.
God.
Mm-hmm.
The goodness of God that's given to undeserving people. We don't deserve what we have, but because of God's grace.
Mm-hmm. And then once we have confidence and have that faith in him that he hears us, we can say, and 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And his will is that we be healed. His will is that we be delivered. His will is to be saved. His will is everything. Everything that he wants for you, then you want from him, he'll give it to you. And if we know that he hears us, Lord have mercy, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions.
Yeah.
Glory to God, that we desire of him. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Because I like to focus on the grace of God. Because God's grace has been given to us. And if we feel that we deserve what we're getting, then that means that it's no more grace.
Mm.
It's works that we are trying to conjure up to feel good about ourselves and say, well, listen, whatever is going on in my life, and I've became successful, that it was my own doing.
Yeah.
No, but let me tell you something. It's God's grace.
It's
the goodness of
God
that's given to undeserving people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't deserve what we have, and we're trying to earn these things, but no, it's God's grace, unmerited favor. Praise God. And I tell you, in St. John 1 and verse 17, the scripture tells us there, praise God. We'll get back to these burdens because we want those burdens to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And they only can be moved through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But listen to what John said in John 1 and verse 17.
For the law was given by Moses.
Yes.
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
So Jesus Christ, grace and truth. He's grace and he's truth.
That's right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you today that whatever you're grappling with today, I know that there's none that's righteous. There's none that's perfect. There's none. We're only righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever it is that we have only through and by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, and the scripture tells us that. There's none that seeketh after God. In the book of Romans, there he says that. And there's none that's righteous. But I tell you today that I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Praise God. His love and his forgiveness.
Amen.
And everything, because we're not trying to earn anything. We're just a recipient of what he has done for us. Praise God. So this is why we have a right, as Minister Glory said, to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, also, Peter, in 1 Peter 5, I want to tell you today that in 1 Peter 5, excuse me, praise the Lord, the Word of God tells us that we are to cast all of our cares.
Mm-hmm. Upon him, for he cared for you. Anxieties.
Amen. Whatever the problem may be.
Yes.
But he didn't say cast, he said casting.
Casting.
That means that every time there's a burden, there's anxiety.
Yes.
There are concerns, there are problems.
Yes.
Whatever they may be, there are burdens that seem to be insurmountable. The enemy will blow them up where you would think that, well, it's impossible. There's nothing that you're able to do. And really, there's nothing you can do.
No.
Because you give them to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You give them to Jesus. Casting.
Mm-hmm.
Casting all your cares upon him. He's the caretaker.
That's right.
He is the one that will handle your burdens, your problems. And I thank God when the psalmist said, well, cast your burdens upon the Lord.
On the Lord.
Amen. Upon the Lord.
That's right.
Not upon man, but upon the Lord. And he will sustain you.
He will keep you.
Right. He'll keep you.
Amen.
And he will not suffer the righteous to what? To be moved.
That's right.
So what happened is that we thank God for that. And then Peter picks it up and tells us that we're the cast all of our concerns, anxiety, problems, whatever we may have, give it to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And leave it there.
Because, amen, and leave it there, praise the Lord. But give it to him.
Yes.
And realize that he is the only one that is able to handle your burdens.
And I believe he already knows, but he wants you to ask him and to thank him for answering the prayer.
Praise God. Well, yes, he's our caretaker.
That's right.
Otherwise, he's watching out for us.
Yes, he is.
That's why when folks quickly, they tell you, oh, okay, you take care. No, well, I'm not taking care. I'm not going to remove the care out of the hands of Jesus. Jesus is the caretaker. He is the one that is taking care of us. So that's why we leave it in his hands. And we thank the Lord, although I know when that expression is made, what the person actually means, but I don't want to accept that. Because the scripture says, casting all your cares upon him.
Right.
Now, can you imagine for a moment, casting all your cares upon him, upon Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
For he cares for you.
Yep, he does.
So if he cares for me, I'm not going to let nobody else. Well, I'm not going to try to take the care for myself. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And Minister, let's go over there and look at that. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 and 8 and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And going down. Because, see, the moment I try to take care of what I'm doing, you know, I'm giving place to the enemy.
Amen. That's right.
Because the enemy will come in and try to do something. I want to leave it in the hands of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Well,
there was a little song that said that Leave them there. Leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And amen. That's what we have to do.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what we have to do. Praise amen. God. We take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
Amen.
Okay. He will bring us out. If we do things that are right, he will bring them out. Bring us out. He'll take care of us.
Yes.
If we give our burdens unto him.
That's right.
So what it says here that
it said be sober.
Other words, be awake.
Be awake.
Amen. Be sober.
Mm-hmm.
Be vigilant.
Uh-huh. Watchful.
Yes.
Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour.
Well, I'm going to tell you there that he's not no lion. He
mm-hmm.
he makes a growl, but mm-hmm. he's not no lion. There's only one lion. That's of the tribe of Judah. That's mm-hmm. the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a counterfeit, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, a counterfeit.
But he is out to kill, steal, and destroy. But we're supposed to know the word of God, how to come against this enemy who be trying to take things from us that God has given us.
That is true. That is true. Jesus said that in John 10 there, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But see, what did he come to do? Jesus said, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, to the overflow, to the full. So the whole idea is that we receive what Jesus has done for us. We receive that, and we rebuke and take authority over the things that the enemy
yes.
is trying to do in all of our lives. He'll place burdens on you. Mm-hmm. He would have you to think that
mm-hmm.
you can never get out or have anything mm-hmm. that your desires according to the word of God. But no, we know that the word is true.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to be vigilant. We're to be sober because there is a devil out there.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that there's a devil. They figure, well, oh, it's just a mishap.
No.
No. It's the devil that's trying to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said that he came that you might have life. So what does he say there? He says that be vigilant.
Uh-huh.
Be sober for yeah. your adversary.
Yeah.
See, for your adversary. This is what Peter said. For your adversary, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He walks about. I said he walked about
mm-hmm.
as a roaring lion.
Yes.
Or as a lion.
Mm-hmm.
But he's seeking whom he may devour.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to tell you today, if you stay covered by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Put your mind and your heart on mm-hmm. what the Lord Jesus Christ mm-hmm. has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Cast your burdens upon him, for he cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Be covered by the blood that was shed at the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
Thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. When the enemy sees you, he got to come through the blood to get you.
That's right.
Because you're covered by the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he hates the blood.
He hates the blood.
Because the blood shows him where he was defeated. And that was at the cross of Calvary. So I want to tell you today that you stay covered by the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Plead the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
My God, on every situation.
Amen.
And thank the Lord for everything that he's done. Put all your cares and everything in the hands of the caretaker. Jesus is a caretaker.
Right.
Put everything in his hands because he cares for you.
Yes.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And when the enemy tries to come and create confusion or perhaps whatever it is that he's trying to do in your life, listen, he's got to come through the blood.
Come through the blood.
Amen. And he hates the blood
mm-hmm.
because the blood shows him that he was defeated at the cross of Calvary. Praise mm-hmm. God.
But we still need to resist. We and 1 Peter 5:9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We must stand steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, he said down further there, who resists steadfast in the faith. If you listen, who resists steadfast in the faith?
Unmovable.
Your faith must be in Jesus.
Must be in Jesus. And only Jesus.
and everything that Jesus has done for you.
Yes, he's done it all.
Now, I want to say this again. Your faith must be in Jesus.
Amen.
And only in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And everything that he has done for us all.
Amen.
On Calvary's cross. Praise God. You can't cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you, if you don't believe what he has done. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
That's right.
Give your heart to Jesus.
Yes.
Cast your cares upon him.
Yes.
For he cares for you.
Amen.
And the only way that could be done is that you embrace Galatians 3 and verse 26. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And Minister Glory, we got about a minute and half here. I want you to just extend this invitation out there to everyone.
Yes.
I would not dare close this broadcast without offering a divine plan of salvation for those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Praise God.
Open up your hearts and receive that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, Lord have mercy, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved by faith.
Thank you all for tuning into the broadcast this morning. Cast your cares upon the Lord, all your burdens, whatever it may be, he will sustain you. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Hour. Oh,